Isaiah chapter 40. I try to be reminded often of the work the Lord's put in my hand to do. So I tried to read these verses, and I pray He's given me a message for you today from this. Isaiah 40, verse 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 5, but we'll read verses 1 through 8. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. All of our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. And we've been made the righteousness of Christ. We receive double for all of our sins. Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. All of our consistency, our steadiness like grass, our uniformity. We're steady, we're solid. And all of our flowery aspects, little things that shine here and there, what we think's fruit. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord God shall stand forever. Before Christ made himself known in his public ministry in this earth, he sent a messenger to preach the gospel and declared that Christ's arrival. When Christ enters into these earthly bodies that he bought, that he purchased, each one he's redeemed by his blood, he does so by the proclamation, by the preaching of the gospel. That's how he enters his people. It says there in verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and all the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This is his means. Why? He said so. The mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 19. What is that voice going to cry? That all flesh is grass. Everything that we have, we think is good, just going to be burned up in that final day. Exodus 19. I'd reference this to you this morning we looked at 1 Peter. We'll take a look at it now. Like Malachi told us, he said, do you remember the Lord's law? It's what we read in Malachi 4. Exodus 19, verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell all the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Every one of those in that political nation Israel, that physical nation, they saw what the Lord did. They were eyewitnesses to the miracle of Him pulling them out of Egypt, Him saving every one of them. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall Be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. The Lord's getting ready to give them all of his laws. I'm going to lay it all down for you. And he gives them an if-then statement for them people that's in the computers. If you do this, if you obey the voice, then you're going to be a holy nation, be a kingdom of priests unto me. Turn over to Exodus 31. All these trips here through from Exodus 19, Exodus 31. All these trips up and down the mountain. Getting these commandments. Laws about servants. Laws about murder, about property. The Lord laid out how to perform all the feasts. About God's protection. He said, I'll make that angel go before you. The ark, the candlestick, the tabernacle. Everything about that tabernacle. How to make all the colors of the fabric used, and the priesthood, and their garments that they wore, the bells and tassels, every bit of it is a picture of Christ. All of it. He's given all this to Moses for these people. That breastplate and that robe, how to appoint all them, and finally he gave them the rules of the Sabbath. It's the last thing he gave Moses. What a true rest. Moses came down with two tablets of testimony. Look here in verse 30, or Exodus 31, verse 18. I'll page off, hold on. Exodus 31, 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony. Tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. He just gave his to Moses. Moses is about to make his way down. They're done talking. Chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. We don't know where he went. We don't know what happened to him. Make us some gods. Now this is the same people. There in Exodus 19 that said, oh, every word that the Lord spoke, we'll do every bit of it. We'll obey all of it. The Lord made a conditional covenant with a political nation of Israel, but they never obeyed His voice. They never fulfilled their side of that covenant. Natural man cannot do so. That's our spiritual lesson in all this. We can't fulfill it. Can't do it. The Lord sent prophet after prophet in the Old Testament, crying with the voice, saying, man can't, all flesh is grass. The Lord will provide Himself a lamb. He established this covenant. He's the one that's going to fulfill this covenant. Tell them constantly, over and over and over. And they mocked and they rejected the message of the Lord. Give us something else. Give us a king. Give us some rules. Let us make our own way. We can do this. But the Lord said through Isaiah, there in our text, that He would send one last messenger to them that's going to announce this lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It's going to announce His arrival. So I'm going to send you one more messenger. And we know that He's speaking of John the Baptist. Matthew told us that. He said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Matthew told us plainly. This is who the Lord's talking about. This is the last of the Old Testament prophet, John the Baptist. Remember Zacharias, turn over to Luke chapter 1. Zacharias and Elizabeth. Gabriel came to Zacharias and said, you're going to have a child. And Zacharias said, you sure? I'm pretty old. And he said, you're going to be dumb until that child is revealed in your hands. Until this prophecy, until you hold it. You ain't going to be able to speak. And Elizabeth gave birth to John, and they said, everybody counseled her. They said, you call his name Zacharias after his daddy. And she said, his name's going to be John. And they looked to Zacharias for a sign, because that's all he could give them. He couldn't talk. And he wrote down and said, his name's John. And then he spoke when he held that baby. We'll look in verse 76, Luke 1, 76. Now Zechariah has been silent for 10 months. He's speaking. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. How sin put away? Verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sitteth in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is what every one of God's messengers do. They clear the way. They make the way clear. They clear all the brush out of the way, get it down to a flat level road, and say, here's the king. It ain't the one that's talking to you. It's the one they're pointing to. That's what Zacharias said to his son. Is this one's going to preach Christ to people. What happens when God's messenger preaches Christ? Clearly and plainly. Turn over to Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. He's going to be consistent. He's going to be an instrument used by the Lord. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Christ came to his earthly temple, not made with hands. He came to a body that wasn't made by Adam, by the seed of Adam. It was a holy, immaculate conception. But that's how, through the preaching of the gospel, through the messengers he sends, he suddenly comes into his earthen temple. He suddenly comes to that seed he's planted in these earthen vessels. And that's how it goes, isn't it? You sit and you hear the gospel preached over and over and over. Oh, I know these things. And all of a sudden, one day, I remember a man that, boy, he's a role model to me. He took notes incessantly. And I thought, that man knows, so that's a man of God right there. And one day, he set his notes down. And tears started coming down his face. Suddenly, the Lord entered his temple. That's where he abides, inside of his people. That's me and you. And back to our text there in Isaiah 40. The voice came in the wilderness, crying to the desert. Verse 3. The voice came of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our Lord. Why was John sent to the wilderness and not into the temple? Why didn't he go to downtown Jerusalem? Why didn't he go on the Christian television show in front of everybody else? Put this in context. There in Isaiah's day, Israel and Judah were taken captivity by Babylon. That harlot Babylon came in and was running everything, wouldn't it? John the Baptist's day, nothing really had changed. Babylon spiritually was taken over. They were rejecting God for that earthly tabernacle. They had a physical building they worshipped. They thought they were priests. They thought they were the mediator between man and God. They had their shiny robes. Everything looked right. Babylon was there, was ruling. What's going on in this day? Something different between Isaiah and John and us? This world's flooded with people that think they're priests. They're flooded with people that worship buildings, congregations, worship man. Nothing's changed. Babylon's still ruling, isn't it? So, John was out in the wilderness. We're out in the wilderness, ain't we? Just like Boaz's field. We're out in the corner of a field, out in the country. So it is with all men by nature in our day. The people to whom Christ sends His gospel, we are the wilderness. Not just physically where we are, not out here in Hamul. Each one of us individually. If the Lord comes to us, we are the wilderness. We're the desert. We're a land of desolation. We're a dry and thirsty land. He's that water of life that comes to us suddenly. The King, Jesus Christ, is not coming to a temple made by our hands, but by His Spirit. One that He established was not made with hands. He's not to be served by men who make themselves a holy priesthood, or that other men make a holy priesthood. He's served by those that He's made holy priests and made them the righteousness and holiness of Himself. He's the fulfiller of His own covenant. He made the covenant. He fulfilled the covenant. That makes Him just and the one that justifies, doesn't it? He's the just and the justifier. We may be surrounded with religion all our lives. We may have grew up in any kind of church you can think of in this nation. Or we may have grown up and never cracked open a Bible. Our shadow may never hit a church door in our whole lives. But Christ the King sends His ambassador through preaching of the gospel. And He says, the King's here. And one day He makes us hear, don't He? Gives us ears to hear Him. What does the Spirit of God do through the gospel? Look here in verse 4. Isaiah 40, verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I'll give you a guess how many points I got out of that verse. First one, every valley shall be exalted. Every sinner with a broken and contrite heart. Somebody the Lord humbles, and they are weighed down by their sin and their guilt. I mean, in a valley, in that miry pit. Lord, help me. They're going to be exalted. Why? Christ has preached to them. He says to them, fear not. Your iniquity's pardoned. You need a righteousness to come before God. And guess what? My Son's going to give it to you. That's going to be your righteousness. Well, that'll exalt somebody in the valley, won't it? Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Every self-righteous thought we have, every falsehood, all of our high places. That's what them Pharisees liked, didn't they? They liked the high seats in the synagogue. We're way up here. Sometimes I'll come down here and visit with the common folk, right? Some men are mountains, but they're only dung hills. That's all we are. And through the preaching of the gospel, Christ cuts them down. He'll humble every one of His servants, bring us from our lofty places and ideas of who God is and what we are, and show us what we are and teach us who God is. Won't He? The crooked shall be made straight. Henry always used to say that. He said, you want to show somebody a stick's crooked, just lay a straight one down next to it. And so I don't pinpoint people I preach against, but I'll sure tell you what a crooked doctrine's out there and by laying down the straight doctrine. But that'll happen in His people too. All of our crookedness, our malice, our guile, all of our hypocrisy. And so, well, I'm a Jew. I'm the Lord's child. Guile. Well, I'm a Baptist. I was born a Baptist and been a Baptist all my life. Hypocrisy. Envy and evil speaking. That's all it is. Everything we think about ourselves. We pretend we know God. We pretend we believe in God. And we'll pretend we're righteousness. We'll speak high of ourselves and low of everybody else. All that guile in our mouth. The Lord will, preaching of the gospel, wipe it clean out of us. The rough places made plain. We're born with a stony, jagged heart, ain't we? He's going to smooth that thing right out. He'll make it out of flesh. Make it soft, just like this. Not an old jagged rock. And the other thing with that rough place made plain, that stumbling stone. There was a time Christ was jagged, wasn't it? Oh, that's offensive. Ooh, that hurts. I want to steer clear of that. And when He reveals Himself to you through the preaching of His Word, what do we do? Oh, that's a smooth stone. That's a sure foundation that we're built on, isn't it? Precious cornerstone. Verse 5, Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. It says, and all the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. This is what happens as the gospel is being preached. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you behold the Lamb of God, you behold the Lord God. You see, they're one and the same, ain't they? Look here in verse 11. This ain't from me. I can't convict. I've heard a lot of preachers been asked over the years, well, you're awful steady. Boy, you're just calm in a storm. You seem so comforted. Can you come talk to somebody and comfort my grandma or comfort my brother or my sister? Can you give them some of that? No, I can't. I can't convict anybody of sin. If I did, it's a false conviction. I can't give comfort to no one. I can tell you where comfort can be found. Look here in verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosoms, and shall gently lead those that are with young. The Lord performs this. When you see, if I just tell you who He is, and you see Christ, and you see that He's God, and you see what He's accomplished for His people, He's fed you. He's gathered you to hear this. He carries you in His bosom. What a comfortable place to be. And He'll gently lead you. Anything I do won't be gentle. That ain't my nature. I'm jagged and I know it. And any gathering I do won't be, only it'll only be temporary. Any comforting I do will only be temporary. And any feeding I do will only be temporary. But if I'm used of the Lord, He'll effectually feed His people, gather His people, care for His people, and lead His people. He'll perform it. It says there in verse 5, all flesh shall see it together. Every one of His elect is going to see Christ. All of us, throughout time. We're going to see the same one. We'll all see it as one, in unity. They'll be taught of God in the heart where He's planted that incorruptible seed. Christ is the incorruptible seed. So that means that's no different between Abraham, between Isaiah, between John the Baptist, between John Gill, between you, between me, between anybody else to come until the Lord's pleased to end this world. Our heart's the same. We look to the same Savior because we have the same God, don't we? And the temple that the Lord made for Him to dwell in, and Him in His people, He makes His chosen an eternal generation. Makes us live forever. He makes us a royal priesthood. He makes His possessed treasure to be of great value. He makes us to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. All of His flesh will see. And what does this voice do? We remember there in Exodus 19, it says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant. But we can't do that. Right? Like Malachi warned us, we remember that law of Moses. I can't complete that law. Jesus Christ, the servant of the Father, He heard the voice of His Father. The Father spoke to Him and He said, my law must be honored. My justice must be satisfied. My people must be redeemed. If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The same thing the Father proved that sinful men could never do. The Father said to His Son, our surety, our mediator, He said, do this. And the Son heard His voice and agreed and came, and He fulfilled every word of that covenant, every jot and tittle. How are we going to be made a holy nation? Christ has to do it for us. God has to do it for us. How are we going to be saved from that altar of sacrifice? God has to provide Himself a lamb. Because He's the messenger of the covenant. When Christ the prophet speaks through the voice of His messengers, through the Holy Spirit, He makes us effectually obey His voice. He's our prophet. He's the one that speaks to us. He's our priest. He intercedes for us before the throne of God. And He's our King. He rules and reigns for us, doesn't He? And believing on Christ who fulfilled the everlasting covenant, by believing on Him, we fulfill the covenant. By faith in God. In Him, don't we? The Lord said, if you do all this, you obey my voice, you fulfill all this law, then you're going to be a holy nation. You're going to be kings and priests unto me. How are we going to do that? I can't keep it. Believe on the one that did keep it. Look to Him. We read in Peter this morning. Peter listed these things out of Exodus 19. And he said, you've been made a holy nation, royal priesthood. And he said, now, go forth and show the praises of the one that made you that way. That's what we do. It says there at the end of verse 5, Isaiah 40 verse 5, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's why all this comes to pass. It's not the doing or dying of man. The Lord spoke it. Just as He spoke this world into existence, just as He speaks to His children, just as He'll speak and it'll be over one day and be burned up. He said this is how He's going to do it. We see John the Baptist came forth because the mouth of the Lord said He would. Did John the Baptist come? Sure did, didn't he? Did he preach the gospel? Yes. Did all the Lord's apostles come and go forth preaching the gospel? They absolutely do. Does His messengers now go forth and tell the truth about God? They do. Why? Are they that good? The Lord spoke it. Come from His mouth. Second thing here is as John the Baptist preached, all these things came to pass through John because the mouth of the Lord was speaking. It was His word through John's mouth. Over and over we hear Him described there in the Gospels as the voice of one. The voice. You see there in verse 6, it says, the voice said, cry. And He said, what shall I cry? But look up in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Well, that's the same word. Is that two different people? No. The Lord's servant is just an ambassador. An ambassador comes and speaks on behalf of the one that sent him. And he speaks only the message of the one that sent him. Let's look over to Isaiah 52, just a couple pages. Isaiah 52. Look there in verse 6. The same voice goes through all the Lord's prophets in the Old Testament. The same voice was in John the Baptist, same voice in the apostles, and the same voice is coming out of His messengers in this day. Isaiah 52, verse 6. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in the day that I am He that doth speak. They're going to know His name. They're going to know His voice. Behold, it is I. How are we going to learn that? Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice. That's more than one watchman, that's watchmen. They're going to lift up Christ the voice, exalt him. With the voice together shall they sing. With him they're going to sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Those sent of God have one message. The same message because they're used the same way. And they're in agreement. Always have been, always will be. There's no varying on what the message, on who the message is. It's always Christ. Now what do we sing? What do we sing together? Verse 9. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, you deserts, you wildernesses. For the Lord hath comforted His people, He hath redeemed Jerusalem. We say He's successful. It is finished. He came and He accomplished what He set forth to do. It's done. And we rest in Him. We sing His praises. He sends forth His messenger crying, comfort ye my people. But in doing so, the Lord receives all the glory for effectually comforting His people in their heart. Look here, just a page over in Isaiah 51. Verse 3. Who is it's going to comfort us? Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of medley, the songs of Christ, singing His praises. We looked at Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. It says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Christ is going to preach effectually to his people. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. We're required to praise God at all times and obey him at all times. Christ our Redeemer did. And he comes into the heart of his people, into that incorruptible seed, and we sang the praises of God through him. We sang with the voice. Have you heard his voice? Have you obeyed his voice? Are you persuaded that that everlasting covenant was completely fulfilled by Christ? He accomplished salvation to the uttermost. If you have, if you do, rejoice, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. The Lord spoke to you. Amen. Let's pray together.